on this episode of Still Loading, That's It, Snake. Hurt me more. Welcome back to Still Loading. We are finally coming out with a real episode. Last episode, actually, I don't even know if you knew about it, Pete. I had a DLC one that was 10 minutes because I couldn't find anyone. But this episode, we're talking about Metal Gear Solid, and my guest with me today is my good old buddy Pete.
Hey, you already talked to me?
Yeah.
And then I wasn't allowed to talk?
No, not until I say your name. That's how it works.
All right.
So, Pete, what is your opinion on Metal Gear Solid?
I mean, it's all right. Like, some people would say that it's the most solid of the Metal Gear Solid games.
So
that's the one line I prepared.
That's all.
Everything else
we came with. we came ill prepared today, but we'll find stuff to cover. So pretty much what this episode is going to be about is I played Metal Gear Solid for the first time ever. My first ever Metal Gear game. Pop my Metal Gear cherry.
Roast.
All over the... Never mind. I'm not going to finish that. Anyway, finished the game for the first time, and I really enjoyed it. So, figured before it gets out of my memory, before it, I forget everything, let's record it. And my friend Pete here is a huge Metal Gear Solid fan, or just Metal Gear fan in general, and I figured I'd bring him on for it. So, the plan is to play through the rest of the series and bring him back for each episode that after I beat the game. So, Pete, tell me a little bit, or tell everyone a little bit about your history of Metal Gear.
I mean, I first played it probably around the time it came out, like maybe a year or so after. I was very young. It was probably like 10 years old or so. I don't know. I thought it kind of blew me away when I first played it. It had mechanics that I had never seen in another game before. Like, everybody knows the Psycho Mantis fight. You have to plug the controller in. That was the first thing I had seen in the game. I was watching a friend play it.
And that kind of, like, unfortunately, that got ruined for me because, you know, the internet, everyone knows, like, if you go on the internet at all and you're remotely interested in video games, you're going to see that Psycho Mantis thing eventually. Okay, so yeah, go on.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and when I, like, that was the first thing I had seen and, like, the only part I had seen of the game. And then I had played the demo when it was on whatever demo disc. Yeah, like, way back, which didn't even have any boss fights. It was just, like, the very beginnings.
Yeah, they didn't. We were listening to the Retronauts podcast, and I think they were talking about that, how it didn't give like any indication of like what
you it like. Goes all the way up to where you get to the DARPA chief, and then he has a heart attack, and then that's the end of the demo.
Is it weird that whenever I saw DARPA, I always think of Harry Potter? It's because it looked like to me the Defense Against the Dark Arts.
DARPA's a real thing.
It is a real thing. But every time I saw it,
it's kind of like that. They make like, prototype weapons.
They're fighting Voldemort.
Yeah, DARPA. Like real life Voldemort, I guess.
They're cutting off noses of people preemptively just in case. Actually, no, that would make more Voldemorts.
Well, he cut his own nose off, didn't he? Nobody cares.
I don't remember. I haven't read the books
in
forever.
If you like snakes a lot.
Snake?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you know, time.
So, so we're just going to go through, kind of talk about the story from plot point to plot point, and just kind of work through the game. So, preemptively, there will be spoilers. We're just going to talk and joke around as we meander through the game's storyline. So, the game starts off with you entering a submarine base, dock, right?
Yeah.
Because he scubas in.
Yeah, he scubas in one of those, those underwater, the Navy SEALs.
The scuba thing.
The thingy thing.
Scuba.
Yeah. Oh, before we start, did you watch, like, any of the briefing tapes before you start the game?
I watched most of one.
Did you notice Snake has long hair in this?
He did look like... No, I didn't.
He looks exactly like Liquid Snake. Like...
Oh, and that's
like... They always
like
say they look
it.
The same, but when you look in the game, you're like, no, they don't.
Stop lying to me.
Actually, they look exactly alike, and he cuts his hair right before the mission.
Really? Okay, that makes a little bit more sense. I never even noticed that. Well, I didn't watch it all the way. But, so he sneaks in, scuba's all in, crawls in and everything, and you have to get to the elevator before without getting noticed, or wait till it comes down and then get on without anyone seeing you. And I remember the first time I tried playing this before I actually like sat down, I was like, all right, I'm going to beat this. I could not figure out how to kill anyone, so I'd hit and hold square, and he'd just kind of like go down, and he just kind of fall down. I'm like, all right, I knocked him out, or I killed him. And then he just get back up and go like, brrr, and start shooting me. I'm like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, I mean, you just gotta... I guess the game didn't really give you a tutorial about it. You had to look in the manual, which don't really exist in games anymore.
Well, I have the manual because I actually have the physical copy of it on the PS1.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't, like, I didn't, maybe it's because I'm so used to games not having manuals, I guess I just didn't. I looked it up online instead of reading the manual.
Come on, man.
It just says you tap square,
repeat. You tap square and you choke them enough to snap their neck. You don't have to kill them. If you flip them over enough times, you'll knock them out. Or I think two of his circle combos.
Does it? It only take two of them? It felt like it took longer.
I could be wrong. It's been
Been a while.
But you can, yeah, you can just punch him to death.
So you sneak up, and then you go up the elevator, and the rest of the game is a blur to me. Well, that's a lie. I know the basic plot points.
A blur? You just played.
I know. I have a bad memory. But, no. So do you remember what happens once you get to the top of the elevator? Like, oh, is that you end up outside of the base, like in the snow, right?
Yeah, you're outside, and then that's when you get your kind of little in-game tutorial about how to use like your binoculars and stuff, and then you see Liquid fly away in a helicopter, and Snake questions why there's a Russian helicopter on an American base, because you're in Alaska, you're on an American
silo. I did really like how at tons of points through this game, like, it would always be like, I had no idea where the story was going. Like, I was wondering, like, what, like, I guess the whole brother thing could have been a little cliche, but I didn't really predict it either, because I don't really look into story too much.
Well, the story starts, the reason you're sent there is because that's an American government, like, installation.
And the terrorist sees it.
The terrorists, which are Liquid Snake and his group, are a unit called Foxhound, which is American Special Forces. And it's like a revolt that they led. Like, they are actually American troops, and they led the revolt. And the soldiers that are there, soldiers that are just stationed on that base.
Do you ever think that if this was an American troop, do we really have American troops that have, like, psychic people and Native American machine gunners?
Well, if you think that, just wait till you get to the other games, because the bosses in this game are very tame compared to what comes later in the universe.
Well, who is it? I was one of the people at work was telling, at my job, was telling me, like, in the newest one, like, the opening scene, like I don't know,
is this five?
It's five. A plane or something, like, gets taken down by, like, a big red blood whale or something. Like, I'm talking like a big whale in the sky, just poof.
I mean, I haven't seen anything that ridiculous, but it doesn't surprise. Like, you just, as you get through the game, you just have to accept certain things. Some of them are kind of explained, some of them not really. But yeah, the soldiers that are there, they were just stationed there, and some of them just joined the revolt, and the other ones are
the Genome soldiers.
Yeah,
right?
They're controlled by Psycho Mantis. Like, that's mentally controlled them.
Manipulates them.
Yeah, there you go. That's the word.
That's the English. Okay, so then you sneak into the base. Okay, I'm starting to remember a bit more. Like I remember the basic plot progression, but I was trying to remember the exact, like, screens. You know what I'm talking about? So, like, you sneak in, and I remember I crawled through the ventilation shaft.
Oh, before you crawl in there, if you go into one of the random, like, side rooms before you enter the main building, there's, like, a camera just spinning. You know, there's surveillance cameras around, and Snake sounds so surprised when he sees it. He's like, a surveillance camera? Like, yeah, it's a base. Like, why wouldn't there be a camera there? I don't know why he's shocked, but yeah.
It's a nuclear base that wouldn't have security? What?
He sounds so shocked by it. I don't understand.
I liked all the bizarre passive-aggressive flirting he had in the game, too.
Is that with, what, Mei Ling?
Everything.
Oh, every female.
Every female in the game.
Well, he's a legend.
But, like, it's whenever you see those archetype or, like, character types in games, it's always like they're straight flirts or like straight loners or something. He's such a bizarre combination of the two, where he's like, he'll flirt with them hardcore and be like, "Ooh, you're gross, don't flirt back with me." why would you do that?
He's a conflicted soul.
And so you crawl into the base through, and I remember they say, like, follow the rats, because rats always know, like, or mice or whatever, they can find the exit, which I never saw, found useful in any other part of the game.
The rats? There's like, one or two other vent sequences, I think.
But, like, I never got lost in them.
Oh. I mean, it's just, like, you know, the game trying to be a little more immersive, I guess.
I wouldn't say immersive. I think that's more like character direction, like trying to direct the player direction. Like, it's trying to direct the player more efficiently, because lots of times, if you notice in games, like, they'll direct it with light. You'll direct the player with lighting. I mean, there's other ways to do it, obviously, other than just a hallway. I mean, a lot of old FPSs are just hallways. So it'll be like a hallway and then a big area and then a hallway and a big area. So it's still just like a tunnel. But when you have, like, you know, like, games that are like open world games, like GTA, because they have to have markers, because they want to make it look somewhat realistic, so you can't really direct players when you have an open world without giving them, like, here's a GPS for your player, for your character. And so that's why, like, other games that are kind of a bit a hybrid of the two, like Half-Life 2, if you ever notice, like, there's certain times, certain cases where there's a building you have to go into, but you're not sure which one. The game designers actually put a light on the building you're supposed to go into, because your eye will automatically, like, go to that. You'll be like, oh, this is the right one, type of thing.
I didn't know that. That makes sense.
And have you played the Uncharted games?
Yeah.
You notice how every single ledge you can jump on is a little bit more lightly colored than everything around.
I never paid attention to that.
Yeah, that's an obvious one, just because it's like, well, how else would you know which ledges to jump on? They have to do something so the player knows, like, I can go this way and not die. That kind of thing. And that's why you always see every now and then you'll find that jumper, like, I thought I could jump there. It's because they made that just a little bit lightly colored, but either to screw with you or they're just stupid. One of the two.
Okay.
But, okay, so you sneak into the base and you crawl through the vents. And I remember the first time I got here, this is the first time I actually saw patrolling guards. Like, other than, there was like one outside, like one or two outside the base. But, like, okay, I know, I guess technically the first, right off the bat, there's patrolling guards. But this is the first time, like, where you go into it and you can't see them. Like, there's no radar because you're still in the vent. So you walk out, and if you time it poorly, then you can get shot up right away.
Yeah, that's true. I think there's two areas you can come out of the vents at, depending on which vent you went into. There's a vent up top outside the base and one at the bottom.
See, I went on the one on the bottom. How do you get to the one up top?
When you come in, if you just go straight, like, towards the, like, if you were to just look directly straight, there's stairs that go up, and then there's another vent up there.
Really?
I think it's a little harder to sneak through, but it brings you out up top, and that's a safer.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense, because I remember that, because to try, climb up there, there was, to get down, you could get, like, there was cameras up top, but there's no guys doing, like, walking around patrol, so if you just timed the camera movements, you could make it no problem.
Yeah.
Don't you get your first box up there, too?
I honestly forget where the first box is. Probably. I think you get it pretty early.
How many
boxes
are in the game? There's three. I only found two. I was playing with my roommate at the time, and he was playing, like, we were both playing together. We both actually beat it within, like, 24 hours of each other.
It's a pretty short game.
It's about 11 hours.
Without the cutscenes, it's like nothing. There's nothing.
Yeah. Oops. Sorry about that. A little bump. Okay. So you climb down and, like, I can edit this out, of course, like I said.
Oh, coming through the vents, you're in the tank hangar.
Okay, yeah. So you come through the vents and you're in the tank hangar. And I remember trying to crawl through and trying to be able to, like, figure out their patterns aren't hard to figure out, but figure out where you had to go. The boxes, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
The boxes. I didn't find all of them, but, like,
I thought you said you found all three.
I found two. My roommate found all three.
The only reason to get different boxes is they can bring you to different parts of the game. Like, if you get in the back of a truck and then put the box in, a guy will come by and be like, oh, okay, and then, like, they bring it, whatever, each box brings you to a different area. So I think, like,
see, I never did that.
There's not much reason to, I think, but it's like I guess if you're backtracking to try and get, like, more stuff, it's, like, faster.
Now, when he picks it up, does he just, like snakes on the ground and box there?
He doesn't pick the box up. It's, like, in a truck, and it was like, oh, okay, looks like there's a thing, and then it'll just drive the truck away.
Oh, okay. I was like, how could he pick you up without noticing? Because, like, the bottom of the box is, like, you know, there's a hole, so Snake can go until he just picks up, and Snake's just kind of like, like his hands are touching.
We ever see what
they're like holding hands while they're walking across.
Have you seen what he looks like when they knock the box off of you?
No.
He's just kind of like sitting really casual, like he's not like sneaking or anything. Just like chilling in there.
See, they never found me in the box because I never used the boxes like at all.
You should one time just cause an alert and then hide somewhere in a corner in a box and they'll come over and look at it. Yeah. Oh, it's just a box. But sometimes they'll knock it over, I guess, if they get suspicious.
I think the one time I did that and the guy, like, he walked right up to the box. There was no alert, but he was walking up. He walked up right next to the box and just kicked it over. I'm like, you piece of shit. Like, I was hiding here.
That's a good guard.
He just knew, like, there's a box in the middle floor. Why is this here? All right, so then you go through the tank hangar, and then I believe you go down the elevator. Then you have to sneak into an elevator, right?
I think so. I just know you end up in the vents again to get to the DARPA chief.
Yeah, we'll just skip down to the DARPA chief. It's kind of that part. I know you go down an elevator, and you have to go down to a certain floor, and then you get to the DARPA chief. Which spoilers, you find out is, what is it,
Decoy Octopus.
Decoy Octopus. I was going to say
the easiest boss fight in the game, killed by a cutscene.
I'm so good, you don't even know. Sneak in, and then that's when you meet Meryl also, who's like kind of creepily listening on the wall. Yeah,
creepily? I mean, she's like a prisoner. Yeah. She's trying to.
She's creeping.
Yeah, but why would there be two people in a cell? She's doing her soldierly
booty. Well, I do like that random shot as she's walking away. You just see that booty shot. Like after it's
important. Remember, it comes back later.
Does it really?
Yeah. Like Otacon tells you, like when you have to find Meryl later because she's in disguise, she walks differently. So you have to look at the way because she walks like a hip sway.
See, I didn't even notice that.
You just randomly got spotted.
No, because my roommate beat that part before me. He said he found her in the bathroom, so I just waited till one person walked in the woman's bathroom, and I walked in the woman's bathroom, and it was her.
Oh, you'll see her just patrolling around, and she walks differently, like very effeminate.
But you have to wait for to get her alone, which is in the bathroom.
Well, if she spots you, like not another guard, if she spots you, like she'll have that exclamation mark, and then she runs directly to the bathroom.
Mm.
So I guess it's just speeding up. I actually didn't know that you could just wait until she went in.
Yeah, if you wait long enough, she just walks in the bathroom. I did kill another guy when I was trying to get to her when he was peeing.
Did you put a C4 on him?
You could do that?
You could put C4 on people. If you sneak up, like I've done before, you sneak up behind that guy and put a C4 on his back and then sneak away and he'll just like, he has no idea, just like finish peeing. He doesn't even wash his hands. He just leaves and you just blow him up.
Could you wait till he's in like a group of guys and blow him up?
Yeah. Like, if his patrol pattern goes there, yeah.
I really should. I need to replay this again. You'll hear more of this later, but I've been talking to Pete a lot about this, like, before we were recording, and he was always telling me all these interesting things you can do throughout the game that I, like, all, like, little tiny, like, you know, attention to detail type of things.
Yeah, they put a lot into all of these games. Like, the AI gets better in each game. There's always little gimmicks, like the box or the C4 that you can do in each game.
I still, like, you were the first one who told me about, like, how if you, depending on which, you didn't tell me about the endings, but if you, well, sort of, when you, if you resist the torture, then you get,
get a bandana.
Unlimited bullets, right?
Yeah, it's a bandana.
But if you beat it with yielding, then you get invisibility.
The stealth
cannon. Which is, like, OP as anything. You can, like you say,
the game's a joke at that
point.
You
can just walk up to someone and punch
them. It's just boss fights at that point.
I still wish you could just, like, sneak through. But I would say, well, and we're actually getting kind of close to the first boss fight, sort of. The first boss fight is Ocelot Revolver, right?
Revolver Ocelot.
What? It's close enough.
Yeah, he's just an good guy. A guy who's really good with a revolver. That's his special power. He bounces them off walls. Did you notice that?
Yeah, that was annoying. And he never shot me with that. Like, I think he might have got me once with a ricocheted shot, but never really.
I mean, you've only played this one, and you know that he's the only survivor out of all
the
villains.
Yeah, he loses.
He comes up later.
Nah.
The best cutscene.
My arm!
No, he's kind of a cool character, though. Just the fact that he limits himself by using a revolver, and I don't know, he gets like a thrill out of only having 6 bullets to fight you with.
That seems like a big trend with a lot of the Metal Gear bosses. Like, they always like to do, like, Liquid Snake doesn't want to kill you, like just to kill you. He wants to humiliate you too, type of thing.
Well, he has like an inferiority complex.
Yes, he does.
So he, because this is, we'll get into this later. That's like super end of the game.
That's far, so. Way farther. Which I will to say more about that stupid final boss fight with Liquid Snake. Oh, I can vent about that. So you rescue the DARPA chief. Well, not rescue. He dies. Close enough.
Close enough.
It's fine.
Well, most importantly, he claims to have given them his passcode.
Which never happened.
The game kind of gives you a hint, because then you see a cutscene with Liquid and
Mantis. You would tell me, did you see who was in the torture? So it's the DARPA chief.
They have the DARPA chief on the torture thing, and they're like, you idiot, you killed him, to Ocelot saying this. And if you can put things together, I think you can assume that maybe Ocelot did it on purpose. I forget. But
why? Oh, because of what happens. Because
like, he's technically not working for Liquid.
Oh,
he's bought. He's, if you remember at the end of the game, there's a thing. He's part
he's
of
talking
the third
to,
party
yeah.
of people.
So
that's why they have. What
who's
the heck?
Honking.
I don't know, but they're really annoying.
Ruining our podcast.
These walls are paper thin. I apologize.
Oh, someone's just. Crazy.
Well, that's what happens when you live in the ghetto.
In the ghetto. In the middle of the suburbs.
The ghetto suburbs.
In the ghetto suburbs.
What was I even saying? Oh, yeah. So the reason that Decoy Octopus is even disguised as the DARPA chief is because they accidentally killed the DARPA chief and didn't get his code.
And so they were hoping to use Snake.
So they tried... Yeah, they tried to use him to get Snake to... Either tell him the code, like if Snake knew it somehow, to get information out of Snake.
Yeah. Excuse me, sorry. And that's and like the whole thing with the DARPA chief dying, everyone else is confused. They're like, what is this? And that's when you hear about Fox die, which, well, you don't know what it is till later.
Yeah, because after Ocelot, you rescue the president of the manufacturing company that makes the Metal
yeah.
Gear, and he... gave them his code. He legitimately did, because he's not a very strong guy.
So. Nope, not at all. And so you go to DARPA chief. Well,
All right. Well, in the Ocelot fight, you can't forget that you get saved by the cyborg ninja, which I thought was the coolest and scariest thing when I first played the game, because like he shows up, cuts off that guy's hand, like goes invisible and like runs, like gets all crazy and runs away. And then I'm like, well, that thing's just on the loose, like, in the base.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be terrified.
Well, what I don't get is why he didn't just fight you then and there. Like, I understand from a game design perspective, you don't want to have boss fights back-to-back, but, like...
I think because he had that mental freakout, he's not all there, like,
yeah.
mentally. Because he's essentially,
and
like, a walking corpse.
Didn't you tell... The Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater, that's the prequel to everything. That's how he becomes a cyborg, right?
Not in that one. He becomes a cyborg in... I forget what system, if it was NES or something. There were two Metal Gears before Metal Gear Solid.
Well, the original Metal Gear... I can't take credit for this research. This was done through Retronauts, but like their podcast... Sponsor? Not really.
money.
Give me something. No. They were saying how... Oh my lord, shut up!
These people are really into our,
seriously,
our podcast.
Let's, so, the original Metal Gear comes out on the MSX, I think, which is like an old... it's basically like a computer, but it's a game console at the same time. And it got ported to the NES, which was when it was released in America. Metal Gear bombed in Japan, apparently, the original game. But
really?
It was hugely popular, wildly popular in America. So, Konami greenlit an America-only sequel for Metal Gear, which was like... not very good, but also kind of decent at the same time. They talked a bit about it in the Retronauts episode. And so when Hideo Kojima found out about it, he was like, no, I want to make my own one. So he makes his own one, and it's only released in Japan.
Okay.
At the time. Now we can get it over here through, like, I think the Legacy Collection has it. And I think the Collector's Edition of Snake Eater, the Subsistence one, has it on there, apparently.
Okay.
So I actually might try it out, because I actually have Subsistence. once I get to, you know, Metal Gear Solid 3. Okay, so yeah. So then...
So yeah, Gray Fox was a boss in Metal Gear 2, the Japan-only one. He was just... He was like a soldier like Snake, like a really top-of-the-line, like,
and that's
really
when, great soldier. That's when you... Okay,
you fight him, if I'm not mistaken, you fight him in, like, a minefield or something, like a fist fight, like the Liquid Snake fight, I guess.
Yeah.
And you punch him onto a mine, and he dies.
And then that's when he, like, his body's still gone.
Yeah, they... Scientists take his body and start experimenting on it with the cyborg ninja suit, and that's why he's, like, all over the place. Like, he's not supposed to be alive.
Yeah. And that makes sense how kind of crazy he is at the very end of the game. So... I'm just going to skip right up to Revolver Ocelot. Is it, that's right. It's not Ocelot Revolver.
Yeah, Revolver Ocelot. What about him?
Or we were at the DARPA chief, but then we just kind of
So I thought we moved on.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you break through. I remember you had to find the hidden walls to get to him. Like, you had to knock on it and then use the C4 to blow up the wall, go through the wall, and you'd actually fight him. Then I remember I found the door to Revolver Ocelot first, and then my roommate found the wrong door because there's two options in, like, this, like, hallway. So he got killed by a bunch of soldiers, and I
ended up fighting. I didn't know there was another door.
Yeah, oh, it's one of those ones you can knock on. So, like, the one you go to, like, if you're looking at the hallway because it's going across the screen horizontally, the one in the middle, which you would actually go up, would be the one to Revolver Ocelot. If you go all the way to the right, all the way to the end of the hallway, and put an explosive, that wall can blow up.
Okay.
We found out by, like, random, excuse me, or accident. So then you get to the Revolver Ocelot fight, which was cool because, like, the president of the company or whatever was all strung up with all those wires and rigged to explosives, so you couldn't walk through the center without killing yourself, everyone, including Revolver Ocelot. So you would always have to kind of run around in circles, and then you'd have to shoot him.
Yeah, it's the most, like, basic of the boss fights. Like, I guess it's cool in atmosphere and everything, but
yeah,
just
it was really
run in
cool.
a circle and shoot.
Yeah, it was more tedious than anything, because you had to keep, like, you kind of had to keep running back and forth and hope that you wouldn't, hope that his ricochets wouldn't hit you or something, and kind of predict his movements a little bit, which wasn't hard. He's only going in one direction,
yeah,
but it was just kind of like knowing when he would turn back around. But so it was a fun basic. But I remember enjoying. I think I died like once just because I ran into the center by mistake. I don't know. I didn't do that. I was going to say I should next time see if I can crawl underneath all the wires.
I think you just die of him shooting you while you're just blatantly out in the open.
Well, you know, it's worth a shot. But once you beat him, you know, his arm gets chopped off by the cyborg.
And he claims that you got lucky as he carries his hand.
He just picks it up and, like, I'll get you next time, gadget.
Do you like how he wears, like, cowboy spurs on his boots?
Does he? I didn't even notice.
When he first walks in, you hear the spurs, and you see it's like a
clanking
close-up on his boot.
That's funny. I didn't even notice that. So you beat him, and you go out, and then shortly after, you actually... It's not too much farther down the road that you fight Cyborg, I thought.
Well, there's...
what's in between him and Cyborg?
You get Meryl's code from the back of the box, and she lets you outside of the hangar, and that's where you fight the tank.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't that bad of a fight.
You can throw... did you ever use the chaff grenades or whatever?
Yeah.
Then it can't... That messes up the sensor. Like, you can't see your radar, but the tank
Oh, yeah,
also
no,
can.
I did use that.
And then you can just run up next to it and lob.
And just lob. Because, like, even up close, the machine gun doesn't really hit you too much.
If you land the grenade right in the cockpit, I think it's an instant kill.
Is it?
It's like two grenades. You'll throw, if one lands in, it'll kill the first guy, and then another guy gets up.
Okay, you have to kill both of them to actually...
Yeah, and then
that's
the tank blows up, and somehow Raven...
It's like,
his muscles are...
My Raven thirsts for blood.
Yeah, weird shamanistic tattoos protecting...
It was cool, though. I liked him. I remember you saying he was your favorite character.
He's my favorite of the Foxhound people of Liquid's crew.
I am excited for when we get to Psycho Mantis, because that fight, I didn't like, not because, I mean, I knew the gimmick with it, but the convention we're going to this weekend, Doug Stone, the voice actor for Psycho Mantis, is going to be there. And like, I just found this out today, the day we're recording this. Yeah, definitely have
to meet him. It'd be interesting to meet like one of the cast from.
I'm going to get him to sign my copy of it.
That would be cool.
I'm going to definitely do that, like on the May. Because they have like the images of all the different. If you look at the manual,
Get him to sign his page.
Yeah, I'll get him to sign his page. Oh, I'm doing that. I'm doing it.
He's like I think physically the weakest boss. You can beat him by punching him.
Can you?
Yeah, he takes damage from your punches and your kicks. So if you just go up and punch him, like
I think I did do that a lot. Just because like shooting is so hard to aim with in that game, it's so inaccurate.
It's weird at first because it's a very archaic.
I was pretty decent at it because if you ever play the Jak and Daxter games, we kind of talked about it a little bit on the Jak episode a week or so ago, or that's it, almost a month ago now. The Jak games didn't really have a good aiming system. Like, it was not a great aiming system. So it's very similar to Metal Gear, where the camera is kind of fixed. But the camera not help.
It's just top down, and then I guess you just have to rotate around on, like, a directional plane.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of difficult just because of, like, I mean, it was still difficult. It was basically the way Metal Gear felt. It was a very, like you said, archaic, but it was very like an old version of. It almost feels like Jak and Daxter took that as their template and like improved upon it because it was on the PS2, so they could do more with stuff like that. That would
make sense. I haven't played those games. It's not like the games are.
They're nothing similar to Metal Gear at all, obviously. But it was just like the shooting thing, and it was. You pretty much were at the mercy of the game's auto-aim as opposed to your actual skill.
Okay.
But their auto-aim was a lot better in Jak. Was, you know, talking about, like, what, Metal Gear was 98, Jak 2, I think, was, like, 2002, 2004 type of thing. So, you had six years or so of progress to go with.
Yeah, and when you play the other ones, like, I think when the original release of 2 and 3, it was still the same top-down view, but then on the subsistence versions, it's like kind of over the shoulder now. Mm-hmm. They've like updated the aiming and everything like that.
I
know the original added version a first person mode to shoot.
So the original 2 and 3 were like the camera was similar to the original.
It was exactly the same, which is fine for 2, but for 3 it made the game like really tedious. But in 2 they introduced like a first person aiming.
Yeah.
Which you like for one of the bosses you need to use, but that makes it a lot easier because you can just, as you're running around, if you get into an encounter, you could just first-person mode and just shoot down. You need.
That'll be nice, and I'm excited to try it. Like, right now, I'm playing Arkham Knight, but once I beat that, I plan on moving on to Metal Gear Solid 2.
As you should, and I'll have to replay, because I've only played, like, once or twice, and I'm really...
You said 1 and 3 are the ones you played the most, right?
Yeah, and I think 3 is the best one, followed closely by the first one.
I'm just excited to get to 4 with, you know, like... 90-hour cutscenes.
Yeah, you have like 10 or 15 minute load times in between chapters, so you just get to watch. You literally watch Snake smoke an entire cigarette, and then it'll like load the next chapter while there's a warning message. It's like, don't smoke, it's bad for you. As he's just like lighting up.
This is a mixed message, Grandma.
I think it was just like to demo. It's like, look what the PS3 can do. Like, look at the, like, cigarette graphics. And
I always physics. Like, whenever I hear stuff like that where it's like a mixed message, I always think back to there's a episode of one of Kevin Smith's podcasts where he goes like, he's like, you know, my grandma always sent me, she would like sit me down in front of Richard Simmons, just make me watch Richard Simmons, but then give me a plate of waffles or pancakes or something. It's like, she's like, I love you, but stop eating. Here, have some more pancakes. It's just like, Grandma, this is really confusing. What do you want me to do? What does Richard Simmons want me to do?
Just be yourself, Kevin.
But okay, so we finished with Revolver Ocelot, and then
you can hear everything in this apartment building.
I wonder if it'll pick up on the recording. That's fine. I'm not. You're going what?
It's just getting dark in here.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to ruin the atmosphere.
But... No, you know, it's all romantic and whatnot. So you beat Revolver Ocelot, and then you have to fight your way. Oh yeah, like you said, you go to the tank. The tank. And then
you have to sneak past the lasers with the cigarettes.
Wait, yeah. The lasers with the cigarettes?
Could you see them without the cigarette? If you have cigarettes that he smuggled in, like in his stomach or something.
I just use the infrared.
Oh, you had the infrared at that point?
Yeah.
If you don't have the infrared, you can use the cigarettes, which you have from the start of the game. And he smokes one, and as it's in your mouth, the smoke will illuminate the lasers, and that's how you're supposed to be able to see them. But you
really?
Lose health if you have a cigarette and your health goes down.
I didn't even know. Oh my, yeah. That's awesome.
I didn't know you could get the infrared that early. But yeah,
yeah,
if you have the infrared,
I never had
an
issue with it. I saw the infrared. I forget where I found it from, but I got the infrared really early, and I went through. And I died the first time, not because I couldn't see them, but because I just mistimed it with the camera angle.
Yeah, it's weird.
Making excuses for it. Like,
so yeah, you fight the tank, which is pretty easy boss.
I didn't like that tank fight just because, like, he kept, like, I don't know. I guess I wasn't used to the controls. It took me a couple tries to get him.
I liked it. I thought it was cool that you had to throw the grenades on there and stuff. It wasn't like you're just puncturing
the cyborg ninja. Once you finally get the cyborg, that was, besides the final blowout with Liquid Snake, that was my second least favorite boss fight.
I mean, I guess when it comes down to it, it's not the most complex. It's just another fist fight. His patterns are very easy.
Oh, yeah. His patterns were fine. It was just, it took a long time.
You can
time.
Shoot him at the end when he's just trying
yeah,
to,
yeah, and that's what I knew, but, like,
I just think that scene in the hallway has, like, the creepiest atmosphere yeah, in the game. Like, it just, the noises that are going on that just sound like, I don't know, like, body fluids, and it's just gross, and there's just, like, cut-up people everywhere, and it leaves so much up to your imagination as to what could have happened in the hallway. Like, because I think it's more impactful that you don't see what happens. You
yeah.
just hear it.
Well, weren't you saying, like, one of the versions you actually see?
In the GameCube time? Version, they show it, and it's just, like, super over the top, and, like, I mean, it looks cool, but it doesn't have the same kind of intimidation factor to where you just see this hallway of guys, and then you turn the corner and see, like, this silhouette of him, like, just holding a guy up in the air.
Yeah, as opposed to just seeing the aftermath. Yeah, it is I would agree with that. I think a lot of stuff now, they're too busy trying to show all the brutality instead of letting your, because what's scarier is letting your imagination fill in the blanks and actually seeing it yourself. If you're going to see something, it has to be really messed up to disturb you, like Tusk.
Yeah, I mean, oh. I mean, definitely not as disturbing as that.
No,
but,
what?
I don't know. I feel like, yeah, the boss fight itself wasn't anything special, but I think the lead-up, I think that was the fight I was the most afraid of before
oh, yeah.
a boss fight. Just, I mean, because of how old I was and just the atmosphere.
He was
before.
Kind of like a masochist, too.
Well, he should be dead, and his brain is
like, yes,
not all there.
Punch, hit me, hurt me more.
I think he just wants to recreate the battle from the previous
yeah,
game.
Yeah, that
he
makes
wants...
a lot of sense, like, don't you remember who I... That makes a whole lot of sense.
I remember that punch.
That's... I was...
So if you haven't played the other ones, that, I guess that line doesn't make much sense. But,
it doesn't make any sense. To
yeah.
me, but
what he's just... He wants
I
to
did
recreate that
find
fight.
It vaguely sexual, and it creeped me out.
I mean, maybe it was.
He was into that
but
kind
you
of
said
thing.
Snake hits on everybody sometimes. People hit on
like, he's bizarrely passive-aggressive with it, too. So that fight kind
they
of,
were really good friends.
But one thing I did like, and we haven't really touched on it yet, every single fight has one boss fight has a ration somewhere on it. I liked that.
Oh, does
like,
it? I didn't
yeah,
realize that.
Every single boss fight I noticed has a ration somewhere on the grounds. Like, even when you get all the way up to Liquid Snake when he's in the Metal Gear, there's a ration all the way in the back right corner. But good luck trying to, you're going to kill yourself
yeah,
trying to get to it.
Dodging
like,
lasers and
dodging
machine guns and
everything.
Missiles.
You can't dodge the missiles since you're running away from it. The missiles always hit you.
I think if you run closer,
if you run
it.
Towards him, you dodge it. We'll cover that when we get to it. But
so Psychomantis is after the ninja. Well, you meet Otacon, the most annoying character in the game.
He didn't annoy me that much.
I mean, all he likes to talk about is his anime.
I was a little like surprised how like they made him as an otaku, and
yeah,
how they
and
even
referenced named
the otaku, the Otacon.
I've seen people cosplaying him, this one guy
at
Otacon.
Otacon at Otacon?
Otacon at Otacon, and he had like the codec like screen, and it said, Snake, this is where I get all my Japanese anime. It was pretty great.
I love clever cosplays like that. I still want my dream cosplay. I don't know if I've said this on an earlier podcast, but I don't care. I don't remember. Is to have a Metapod that evolves into a Super Saiyan, And so you'll get like a big banana suit spray painted green for Metapod, and then you just unzip it and you sprout out. Metapod just starts screaming. He's like, what's happening? And he bursts out and it's Super Saiyan me or whatever.
And then I guess you just have to like zip up and then go somewhere else and do it again. Just do it like, well,
my job's done here.
Like, just nonchalantly.
I'm just thinking how awkward it would be afterwards you do that and you have to zip up the banana in shame. Like, oh. all right, so then after you beat the ninja, I don't remember anything in between the boss fights.
All right, so after you beat the ninja, which you had to get to by using the remote guided missile to blow up the electrified floor.
Oh my god! Yeah, and you had to go all the way around, and the gas was in there too, so you couldn't
a gas mask in the
which
game.
Helped, which wouldn't get rid of it, but you would last a lot longer.
Yeah, it'd last longer. And then Otacon tells you how to find Meryl by looking at her butt. So go.
Oh, he's been paying attention.
Yeah, you go around and look at people. Well, the game makes sure you pay attention. When she runs away, it like,
it's right there. It's right on that ass.
So you find her, and then she gives you some backstory. She's your mission commander's like niece, I think.
Yeah,
Colonel's niece.
Do you ever find out his first name? Is he always just Colonel?
They might tell you in one of the other games. He does show up again, so I forget if they say it then.
He was my least favorite character, Colonel, just because he was so unhelpful at every given moment of the game.
Was he?
I never, like, he would maybe give you some tips when you needed.
Well,
like,
he's the way, like, if nobody had told you how to beat Psycho Mantis, he's the one who tells you.
Okay, that.
So now you can't hate him as much.
No, because I still, like, every time Snake would ask him a question, he's just like, he would just be silent, and it's like, Snake already knows you're lying, just freaking tell him.
Well, I mean, you'll see once you get to other games, like, what's really going on, like, behind the scenes, like, it gets really convoluted.
That's what I heard, well, from Retronauts once again, that the second one's the most convoluted in terms of plot.
That and maybe even 4, because 4 tries to wrap everything up and it just becomes
I wonder what 5's going to... Apparently 5 is going to be his closeout to the whole series.
Well, 5 is another prequel. So, like...
Oh.
So 3 is a prequel where you play as Big Boss, who is what Snake is... Snake is a clone of Big Boss.
Yeah.
Him and Liquid, and then there's another one who's the villain of 2. They're clones of Big Boss, who's the original soldier. He has no genetic modifications. Yeah. He's just a guy. But he was considered the best soldier ever. That's why they cloned him. So in 3, you play as Big Boss. And then in 5, which takes place after 3 but before 1, you're Big Boss. So
5 takes place after 3 but before... Okay, so
but before even the original ones. Yeah. Because Big Boss is the colonel.
So pretty much the story, if you're going chronologically, it would be 3, 5, 1, 2, 4.
Yeah, it would be 3, 5, 1, 2, 4, and well, it would be 3, 5. Those two on the old systems,
yeah,
and then 1, 2, 4.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because Big Boss is literally he's the colonel, pretty much. In the other, he's the guy who gives you the.
I always found it interesting,
and then he becomes the boss of the game. He's the villain of the first two games.
I always thought it was interesting how like he was pretty like all the names are pretty creative. You know, you have like Psycho Mantis and Liquid Snake. I mean, I shouldn't say creative, but at least interesting. And then it's just Big Boss.
Well, all right. Big Boss's predecessor, spoiler alert, you find this out in like the first 5 minutes of the game. The person who trained Big Boss, his mentor, in 3.
In 3.
When you play as Big Boss, his mentor is the boss. and then he becomes Big Boss because he's the next person.
That's so sad. That's so sad.
The boss is honestly, though, I won't spoil anything about 3, but the boss is probably one of the coolest characters in the entire
series. I'm excited to get to it then. All right, so we're just gonna kind of like, okay, so we got out of the ninja fight.
We saw Meryl's ass, and we went into the bathroom. we're getting to Psycho Mantis.
Oh yeah, because then he mind controls her or whatever. I remember that hallway now, leading right up to it.
He gets her to try and shoot you, and then
she tries.
Did you punch her? What did you do to her?
I just kept punching her.
You can throw a stun grenade. Why would you hit women? What's wrong with you?
He told me to punch her. I didn't
could have thrown a stun grenade. You didn't have to lay a hand on her, you brutal person.
No.
One stun grenade, instant knockout.
Stun grenades never worked any other time in the game for
me. Yeah, they do. If you're ever any generic enemy, if you throw it, anything other than a boss, you throw a stun grenade.
I never found it useful, though.
It's an instant KO.
Is it really?
Yeah, I mean, they don't die, but it knocks.
Well, yeah, like I know, but like, and they won't get back up?
I mean, after a certain amount of time, like, you'll see the stars on their head.
Oh, well, see, no, that doesn't count, because they'll still come back then.
Yeah, but if you're just sneaking around, you can just do it and then keep going.
Oh, see, I just killed him.
Well,
apparently I'm just a violent person.
Well, the first game, you don't really have many options to not kill people. The game only gives you, like, two non-lethal methods of killing them. Later on, the game stress non-violence.
Yeah.
But if you notice at the end of the game, they comment on how many people you've killed, like, and comment on, like, how you must enjoy it.
Well, it was funny with Psycho Mantis reading the memory card part, because we're getting up to that, and tells you what, what you've played or whatever. I didn't have, since I played it on, I played it, the PS1 version of it, but I did it on my PS3, so I didn't have any memory card.
So what did
it.
He say?
He just is like, you've been playing nothing. just remember, something like that. Like, he's like, you don't have any memories.
Did he try to make your controller vibrate?
Yeah, well, it's like, I can make your controller move, watch. And I'm like, all right, let me see what, if they, I'm guess they're just going to vibrate, and it just vibrated. I'm like, you know what? For a kid in 1998, that would have blown their mind.
It was a funny little gimmick, I guess. And then he also comments on, like, how many times you save the game and, like, make suggestions.
I saved a lot.
It.
And then...
So he'll probably say that you're, like, a coward or something
I saved a lot. Or no, I didn't actually. He said you're reckless.
That's because you didn't save.
Because I didn't save that often. I would play long stretches of the game without saving. Of course, that came back to bite me later on because of the torture scene. Did I tell you that about that?
Yeah, because
I didn't
you died.
Save right before. I didn't save for, like... I had to redo the whole Sniper Wolf fight because of it. I go back and get the sniper. Right, we're going to get to that.
Backtracking.
So, you fight, you get to Psycho Mantis, and he tries to turn Meryl on you. Apparently, I'm just an abusive person. I didn't know you could...
Bad person.
I didn't even think of the stun group. Anyway, I swear, I'm not that horrible of a person.
You just enjoyed punching her in the face, didn't you?
Anyway.
It's the Colonel's niece. You punched her in the face.
I didn't mean to. She was shooting me. Anyway,
she couldn't help herself.
If she could have, if she wanted.
Nah.
Well, now I'm defending my music. I'm just going to let this drop this right now.
This isn't the 1950s.
Okay, so you beat Psycho Mantis, and he does a really long monologue. I remember about like.
I think he like gives his backstory.
Everyone always gives their backstory in their dying breath.
That stays true through pretty much every game.
Really?
Yeah.
I always found that kind of cliche. I didn't mind it. Like, it was all well voice acted and all this other stuff, but I just found it kind of funny that, like, you know, like, now, like, after all this, like, let me tell you why I decided to try to kill you so many times.
Actually, I don't know if every boss does that, but some of the more developed
just about,
ones do.
Like, Psycho Mantis does.
I meant, like, Vulcan. In the other games.
Oh, okay. I know Psycho Mantis, in this one, Psycho Mantis, Vulcan,
Ocelot
Raven.
Ocelot doesn't.
you don't kill him.
Nah.
So Psycho Mantis, Ninja, Cyborg definitely does. I don't know if he does it at the end of his fight.
He does right before he gets killed. Spoilers,
yeah.
The end of the game.
But I know Sniper Wolf does, and I know, almost all of them do.
Yeah.
Just about.
Because they're humans and they're tragic.
They're tragic. They're all tragic.
Bad guys.
All tragic villains.
For the most part, yeah.
And like Otacon's bizarre romance with Sniper Wolf that came out of nowhere.
Well, yeah, she's pretty hot and he's like this nerdy guy.
Yeah,
it's probably like the only other woman on that base other than him. And she was nice.
Other than him? He's another woman?
Other than Meryl, I guess is what I meant to say. But yeah, he's pretty effeminate. I don't know. She said she was nice. She, like, brought him sandwiches or something.
And, like, she liked dogs. The little wolves.
Yeah. You didn't kill those, too, did you?
I had to. Although, I was at the very end able to kind of, like, see their... Like, all they do is they just walk around in a circle. So you just kind of follow behind them until they're far enough away. And then you just run.
After you beat Sniper Wolf the second time, if you have her handkerchief, they won't attack you. Or if you hide in the box... Like somewhere, one of the wolves will pee on it, and then you're
that
fine.
Blew my mind when you told me that the other day.
Yeah, they add in these little things. I don't even know how I figured that out. I forget if somebody told me or if I was just kind of sitting somewhere and then the scene happened. But
isn't Sniper Wolf's the next fight after Psycho?
The first Sniper Wolf encounter where she snipes Meryl and then leaves her as bait for you to try and go out.
Yeah.
And you go all the way back.
I have to go all the way back to get the sniper rifle. This is where I didn't die. Actually, I did die a couple times with the Sniper Wolf fight because I'm like, where do I go? Maybe I saw, like, because if you look at the hallway that she's aiming down, there's like little like divots on the side of the wall. Yeah. United. I'm like, I wonder if I can make it to that. Boom, boom.
Yeah, I don't think you have to stay in that very first
area. No, yeah, you can. Though I did find the easiest way for me to beat her once I got the sniper rifle, went all the way back, got to the basement, unlocked, blah, 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 all the way back up front. I literally, as soon as the door opened, I just talked about the sniper rifle. I was dead center, all the way in the very back against the wall. And I guess, like, she can hit you, but it's like she doesn't hone in as fast. So I just chilled in the back there, and I just picked her off from there. And then we were like, I was like, this sniping is so difficult, and I figured out the whole drug thing. Like,
oh yeah, the pills. I was gonna say, if you use those, they steady your aiming. That's why she's always popping them in the cutscenes and stuff.
She takes them too.
You ever see her walk up and pop?
I'm thankful I had a ton. Like, I always, every time I fought Sniper Rifle, I always had like 8 or 9 pills. I mean, he's apparently a druggie, you know.
Well, I mean, they steady your nerves. I don't even know what that drug is.
Diazepam, I think, was what the drug. I don't remember what it was called, but it still was like that fight was still fun. I don't remember much leading up to the fight. Like, I remember...
It was just your...
It's pretty much leaving Psycho... Oh, no, no. Because after you beat Psycho Mantis, you're able to get through... like, there's a secret passage. Like, he tells you about it. Like,
He opens it.
And that's where you enter Disc 2, I remember.
No. That's... Disc 2's not for a long time.
Is it? Are you sure?
100... Well, Disc 2 is after the second Sniper Wolf fight. This is the first Sniper Wolf fight.
Was it really? Oh yeah, it was. Yeah, you're right. Disc 2.
He opens a thing. Then it's the cave with the dogs, and then Sniper Wolf.
Yeah, I didn't like the cave with the dogs.
Yeah, it's a dumb little area. But then after you beat her, you go up the hallway to find her body. She's not there, and you get captured.
That's what it was. Okay, and then
Meryl's body is missing.
And then I yielded to the torture because I already died the one time, and then Meryl dies because of me.
Yeah, and when the game first came out, for the longest time, they never specified what the real ending was, if she's supposed to die or not. And then when 2 came out, Meryl wasn't in it, and you're with Otacon, so they still never answered the question if Meryl was dead or not. And then 3 came out, 3 was a prequel, so it didn't answer any questions.
Not until the PS3.
It wasn't until, the
probably PS3. Probably like 10 years later, at least.
When 4 came out, that they're like, oh yeah, Meryl's alive.
Okay, well that's nice to know. I mean, because you don't see her die. You never see her die on it. It's just assumed. And because you don't rescue her from the base, she could have gotten out for all you know. I'm sure they explained it in 4. Don't spoil that.
Well, no, if you didn't submit to the... If you passed the torture at the end when you see her there, after you beat Liquid, if you go over, she's like, she'll wake up and she's conscious. And then she drives the Jeep for you instead of Otacon.
Okay, either way, we'll get up to the Jeep part later. That was... I didn't like that part. So you beat Sniper Wolf the first time, you have the torture, and then I remember in the prison, I tried to fake my own death with the catch-up, but
Did you move or something?
No, what happened was, how did you get out? Did Otacon save you, or did
Well, if you wait a little bit, and then the guard goes to the bathroom.
See, I didn't do that. I didn't have his... Otacon
doesn't give you the ketchup until the guard goes to the bathroom.
So he gives you the ketchup, and then the guard comes back shortly after that.
Did you try to do it in front of him?
Yeah, I did it in front of him.
Genius.
And he's like, wipe that ketchup off. He said that. He called me out on it right in the game.
Well, there's a few things you can do. So what did you do after that, since you failed at the ketchup?
I just kept laying down there until Otacon came and rescued me.
Oh, he just comes and opens the door
Comes and opens the door.
When the guard goes to the bathroom?
Yeah, the second time.
All right, so one thing you can do. Otacon gives you the ketchup. Guard goes to the bathroom. You can just hide under the bed.
Yeah.
So the guard will come back to the bathroom and be like, what the hell? Like, where'd he go? And they'll, like, run in the room. And you can just... If you manage to sneak out from under the bed before he notices you, you can, like, you know, knock him out or something and then leave. But if he sees you when he's under... He's like, oh, really? And then he'll just leave and, like, run. So you can hide under the bed. You can use the ketchup. Or if you suck really bad, he'll just come rescue you.
Oh, thanks.
Did you kill that guard? What did you do to him?
I don't remember. Why? Is there something special about not killing him?
Well, canon-wise, he technically survives this incident.
Really?
He comes back in other games. There's always a guard that has to take a shit. Yeah. Like, every game, there's a guard with digestive problems. It's the same guy.
Is it? Does he remember you every time? He's like, I remember you.
I think so. Well, I know in 4, he's like, I'm a 10-year vet or something.
He keeps getting older, and he keeps taking... needs more prune juice.
But if you... Like, if you... He comes in. If you get up, like, from the ketchup or something, instead of... like knocking him out or punching him, if you just run away, like he'll chase you, and once you get out to the next room, his stomach will act up again. And he's like, oh no, and he'll dart past you into the bathroom.
This is the first one.
Yeah. He'll dart past you into the bathroom if you don't knock him out in that room. He'll just lock himself in there. And if you go up and like knock on the door, you just hear him go like, ugh. he'll just be sitting in there. You can't do anything. He's just locked in there.
I love it. Alright.
It sounds pretty violent. Like, I don't know what
it's just like. But you open the door, it's just pasted. It's like chocolate rain.
That's what it sounds like going on in there.
Oh, that's disgusting. I really want to, like, now I want to walk up to go into like a Target and knock on a stall just because I'm going to go, ugh.
That's what it sounds like. Poor guy.
Alright. He escaped from the cell. And
do you want to like try and wrap up soon, and we could do like a part two or something another time? Just because people are probably going to come home soon.
It's 17.
I know they're don't.
Nah,
work
nah,
like
we'll
seven.
Be fine. We'll try. We'll see if we'll see how long it goes. Once people come in, we'll just do. We'll either do a part two later. We'll wrap it up when people start coming home, and yeah.
Okay.
So I can edit that out too. All
right.
No,
leave it in. All must stay.
All must stay.
All right. So you escape the cell. Get your clothes and gear back, which they left conveniently in a nice big box.
Nice box for you. I thought that was kind of weird. I was happy they did that, though, because most games, they always make you run all over the place. Go to this room to get this piece of gear. Now run over to that room to get that piece of gear. I hate it. I hate that stuff.
So when you submitted to the torture, was it the first time? Like, they hook you up and then he starts torturing you and you just submit it?
No, I went all... The first time that I lost, I made it the whole way down. I was on the last one. He's like, one more try. I'm like, I'm going. I tried to hit select at the last moment and I couldn't do it. And then when I for the second time, I actually did try. I survived the first one, no problem. The second one, my finger slipped off the button, but I was still able to survive it. So when the third one came around, I'm like, F this. Because like, it progressively lowered each time. So I just hit select. I'm like, I'm just going to yield right away. Like, I don't care. I'm not redoing all of that again.
I'm pretty sure if you make it through that, he's like, he talks about how impressive it is that you're not dead. And then they put you in the cell. And I don't think Otacon comes this first time. I think you sit in the cell for a while, and then you have to go through it again, I think.
Really?
And then if you pass that, then I think.
That's nuts. Is it just as hard the second time, too?
It's like the same thing. I forget if that's guaranteed, or if it's just if you don't escape in time, you get tortured again. But I know if you don't... I know there's. It might happen twice.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. Okay, so you get out of the... This is where I'm starting to get hazy.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I mean, like, you get out of the cell, and then you have
to... Oh, this is where you... fight the helicopter, right? Isn't that the next
one?
The Hindy.
Oh, what a stupid fight.
Really? I never thought it was too... I thought that was a pretty, like, 80s epic moment of the
game.
Oh,
yeah, no.
Like, well, rappelling down the wall and fighting waves of guys.
I was talking with my roommate about that. I was telling him, like, how Kojima always likes to make his games very cinematic. Like, they feel a lot like movies. Even on that PS1, like, a lot of the camera angles and, like, the voice, he really focused in on, like, getting a very cinematic experience for his game. And when he's like, when you beat that, it's, like, really cinematic. Because, like, I forget what happens after you beat the helicopter. Like, you think Liquid Snake dies, but he doesn't, as you know.
Yeah, well, you fight through waves of guys, you rappel down the thing, you finally get up to the
That's
top.
What it was. It was rappelling down the thing. That's like, this feels like a movie.
Alright, so you know how at the end of the game, you're Donald Miller or whatever, the one guy who always would radio into you, the guy with the long hair and the sunglasses?
Yeah.
Or no, he had it tied up, but he had the sunglasses on.
And that turns out to
it
be
It turned
liquid.
Out to be Liquid?
Yeah. Spoilers!
If you try to message him at certain points in the game, he won't answer. So, like, let's say you rappel down the building... Mm-hmm. And you go through and you're in the next building before you get to the top to fight the helicopter. If you try and radio him, he won't pick up because it's Liquid, because he's in the helicopter.
Yeah.
And immediately after you blow up the, like, beat that boss fight and the helicopter crashes, if you try and radio him, he won't pick up because he's Liquid. So, like, I don't know why you would randomly message that guy, but it's, like, little things in there.
I did try and message him a couple times where he wasn't there, and I was just like, oh, I guess you just can't reach him right now.
If you think hard enough, I guess you can piece it together.
No, it makes sense. Like, but you wouldn't ever have, like, called that it was, like...
Yeah.
Because it was just Master. That was his name on it. It was just Master.
Yeah. Donald Miller or McDonald Miller.
Is it McDonald Miller?
Yeah. Ronald McDonald Miller.
All right, so then you beat the helicopter thing, you have to rappel down the building after you kill it, right?
Well, no, you're running from the helicopter. You rappel down as it's as he's shooting at you. Then you get to another building.
And you run up, and then you fight
the helicopter.
I remember that now. Okay. And I don't remember much after that until Sniper Wolf 2.
Sniper Wolf is the next boss fight. You go all the way down to the bottom of the tower, come out into a snowfield. And then
that's where she's at.
Then she's waiting for you in the field. I like how Snake's sitting there on the codec just talking, and then you see her just with a scope shoot him. Oh, no. You walk out into the field, and then it shows Sniper Wolf's scope. He gets shot. He's like, ugh. Walks over here, still out in the open, and gets down like this. he doesn't hide anywhere. He's just out in the open.
I remember the first time I saw it.
What happened? asking Colonel for help. What do you hide?
There's this thing called a gun. I remember that when I was playing, the first time I died on my first attempt, because I couldn't get in a good spot, it happened, and it was infuriating. I remember he said he gets down, puts his finger to his ear, and he's like, I just got shot. I'm like, she can still see. Why is
this?
This
is the best soldier in the world. Doesn't know what to do.
Doesn't get by. And the best sniper in the world doesn't know to shoot a guy who's on the radio.
She's got an honor code.
I can't talk to him while he's on the radio. That's just unethical. So then you beat. So then. Well, Sniper Wolf round 2 was a little bit harder. I remember I found
she has
sweet
more
spot.
Areas
yeah.
to hide in.
Which, well, she usually sticks over to the right side of the map, but I just remember it was a little harder to really get her pinpoint. I get a nice spot to pin her down, because you're safe on the far right hand side in the back, because there's a hill and she can't see you since you're dipped down.
Yeah, you have one safe area. I think, too.
I tried going all the way to the left to hide behind a tree, but that doesn't help at all.
Well, once I figured out the Nikita missile trick, that's the way I always
do it. That's what I really should have done.
Yeah, you just hide over on that wall where she can't see you, and then shoot the missile-guided, or the remote-controlled missile, and I guess the AI doesn't recognize it or something, so you can just go straight up to her and just blow her up. I think it takes two or three, and she does.
I still have to tell my roommate that, because he's going to be so pissed when he finds out. That's all it had to take. He died so many times.
I don't think that's the way you're supposed to do it. But
it's supposed to be a sniper battle to the death.
She has a pretty emotional cutscene afterwards, because
she does.
You essentially execute her right in front of Otacon, which is pretty dark.
I'm amazed he didn't turn on you right there.
He's loyal. He's a good friend.
You killed his woman. Well,
she was never going to be with him. Let's
no,
be honest.
But still, if he was that obsessed over her when he never even really spoke to her, he would have lost his shit on Snake.
Then this is when it changes to.
That's when it's just two, and that's when you're in the furnace. I remember the first things of the furnace, and I couldn't figure out for the life of me how to, because I figured out, because you're in the top air and you have to shimmy along the wall, but the crane's in the way, and I texted you, I'm like, I don't get it, this crane keeps getting in my way, I don't see any controls for it, and you're like, oh, just shoot it with a missile, I'm like, why would I thought,
you got missiles, and you like to, I don't know, I mean, also, I don't know if you would do this, but as a kid, whenever I would play games, I would try to shoot everything, so.
I didn't grow up with it, so I wouldn't have,
yeah.
I remember playing, the games I remember trying to, every little thing was, a lot of the old Jak and Daxter games, and then before that was a lot of the old James Bond games for the N64, especially The World Is Not Enough. I would always try to find different things. I'm like, this wall looks a little bit different than this wall, and it was the same thing. It was just my mind playing tricks on me.
Just looking for things out there.
So you have to sink your way down through the furnace. There's a couple cool little secret areas that you could get to, but you had to get past steam vents and stuff to get some bonus.
And
then
you
things.
Get a body armor down there.
Yeah.
Did you get that?
Yeah, I got that.
That helps.
There's one thing on that furnace, it's a ration, but it's right next to the lava and you can't shimmy on the wall. I can't figure out how to get it.
I don't know. I don't remember.
I'll have to show it to you, but it was.
Did you ever throw guys into the lava?
No, did you need to do that?
Yeah, if a guy's near a ledge or a railing, if you punch and kick him, or if you square toss him, he'll go right over the side
and he
the
burns
lava.
Alive.
Yeah, it's pleasant, right?
It's rated M for a reason. It's a really violent game for a PS1 game. It showed a lot for.
Well, it comments on it too at the end of the game, which is why I really like. How the series took a turn in 2 to giving you a non-lethal means of going through the games. Every game
trying to be more stealth.
Yeah, every game starts you with a trank gun after that, so you can just trank
people.
How
many Do you get, is it like ammo or is it just unlimited tranks?
It's ammo, but you can get more throughout.
Is there a lot?
Throughout the game, okay. Depending on if you find where it is. But, and the game gives you bonuses for not killing people and stuff like that.
And so, one thing we did skip, which I wanted to comment on, because it reminded me we're coming up to the second, the elevator fights.
Yeah.
I don't remember when the first, I think the first, no, the first elevator fight happens, I believe, after you beat the helicopter.
Yeah, I think it's on the way to Sniper Wolf. It's you on take the elevator down.
And that, yeah, it is, because I remember doing that and then beating Sniper Wolf shortly after it, because my roommate spent literally, I'm going to say, at least 15 to 20 tries on that one elevator alone. I beat it on my first try.
Wait, really? Just three guys.
He couldn't get, he just couldn't do it. Like, I don't know what it was. He would, it was four guys.
And just spray and pray.
But you only have so much ammo. And like,
Flip them into each other.
That's what he was doing. But the flipping doesn't do a lot of damage. So he would flip them into each other, and he kept doing that. And he did that for a solid 5 minutes.
Well, you can also
minutes.
Use people as a human shield. If you grab one of them...
You can?
Well, you know how when you hit square, he holds them?
Yeah.
I mean, after a certain amount of time, he'll drop them. If you hold them there, like, the guys might try and shoot you, and they'll shoot that guy. And every time you press square, he'll redo the hold.
So, really?
Like, grab a guy, hit square, wait a second or two, hit square again. I mean, enough times he'll snap his neck, but yeah, you can just hold him as a shield.
What?
And you can drag him around. You can use it to, like... Like, let's say you knock a guy out, you can pick up his body and hide him somewhere.
Either. That I figured, because you can drag... I knew you could drag bodies.
Yeah, you can use people as human shields.
I didn't even know that. That's awesome. But what's the purpose of hiding bodies if when you kill them, they just disappear anyway?
Well, if you knock them out. If you're not a brutal killer.
But they if you get don't kill back every up. Person the thing is, in whenever the game. I would knock them out, they would get back up literally in, like, 3 seconds. So I was like, why bother?
Well, no, you didn't knock them out, because they... Did you see the stars going above their heads? It's more than 3 seconds. They're knocked out for like a minute or something.
No, it took a long... It didn't take a long time at all. They were up like that.
Not maybe from what I remember. But then again, it's been a few years.
Maybe... I think a lot of times that when I was able to do that, it was in the middle of a boss fight, which of course they're going to get back up more quickly in a boss fight type of thing.
Yeah. I guess that's true, yeah. But if it's just a random patrolling guy, like if you knock him out, he's out for a good while.
See, I didn't know that. In any case... After, you know, that was the first elevator. I got on my first try. Same thing with the second. The second elevator, I think I died because I was, like, goofing around. Well, I only died once, and then I beat it. My roommate beat the second elevator thing on the first try. But that's when you ride the elevator all the way to Vulcan Raven.
Yeah.
I like that fight a lot.
Storage area.
Because I would use the Nikita on his fight, like, in the big storage thing. And I would use the Nikita to get him. But after a while, he was just moving too fast, and so I just start planting C4.
Yeah, I would plant claymores, like the mines, mm-hmm. all over the place, and then just hide in a corner. And then if he ever happened to walk near an aisle, I would just use the stinger, the one that you fight the helicopter with.
See, I was always afraid he'd shoot me.
You have a second. Like, if you hit him, he might turn around and still get you.
Yeah.
But it's not enough damage to kill you. And then at that point, you can just hide again.
I'm going to see what it's like for the second one, but it's still I'm really excited to try it out. We're getting close to the end, though. We're pretty close. There's only Vulcan Raven, then
two more bosses, pretty much.
What's after Vulcan Raven?
Well, Metal Gear.
And then Liquid. So, getting to Liquid Snake after Vulcan, you have to unlock those three keys.
Yeah, which is tedious and I guess, in concept.
Well, I was like
kind of a time sink.
I was like, because I'm like, all right, so how do we cool these? Like, I figured, like, do I have to walk all the way back outside to the snow?
No,
I didn't even think of that.
Raven's area.
I figured out the hot one right away, the furnace. Yeah, the furnace. That's the hottest area in the entire game. Like, it makes sense. But I'm like, all right, I actually looked it up because I'm like, do I have to do anything special? This is tedious. I don't feel like wasting time. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know to go to the Vulcan's, like, boss area because it's a big freezer.
Do you like how the crows ate him and he's just a bloodstain with a gun?
He just have it's
20 missiles and mines don't even damage his skin, but ravens
just eat him. A bunch of ravens. I didn't even think of that.
He took more missiles than like Metal Gear. I swear, it's like the same amount of. I think he has the Metal same Gear. health bar.
Beer, the best beer.
Well, yeah, I guess if you drink a lot of it, you have as much health as a giant mech.
We could totally make. We should make our own brew and just call it health beer and see how much
health
we could.
Beer. I'm sure people would drink it
if it, yeah.
If it says health on it.
So then,
somebody's home.
Oh man, we feel popular. So,
hello. Hey, Danny. We're just recording a podcast.
So then once you beat him, once you like turn the keys cold and then hot, then you can take it back and you, you know, put them in, you put them into each computer and it's you think that it's going to lock down Metal Gear for good, but spoiler alert, it unlocks it. It sets the nukes off.
Because they didn't have the codes to activate it.
So and disactivated it, yep. And
no, that, I deactivated him.
He's really like, and that's when you find out that Master is really
Liquid Snake.
Liquid Snake. So then you have to you have to escape the room, and I was like trying to figure it out, and I was like, all right, escape in the room. All the doors are locked. Let me automatically
shoot the cameras.
I went to Otacon first, and he unlocked the doors for me. But I'm like, all right. He says it'll take me a little bit, Snake. I'm like, all right, I can't wait for him. There's gas everywhere. I'm dying. So I was going to shoot a missile at one of the windows, hoping that would let the gas out or whatever. As soon as I fired the missile, he messaged me on the codec again and said, I got the doors open. And that was it. Like I guess it was a lucky thing that I figured it out right away. But there's probably, knowing what you've told me about this game so far, there's probably a ton of other ways to get out of that room.
I forget. That might be the way. It's been a while and I don't remember that part too well. I remember being locked in the room, but
you get out of the room and then they like Liquid Snake surprises you or like punch, like beats you up a little bit, and you lose the key card that you need to like go up to do. What did he have to do to Metal Gear?
Oh, no, you lose the key card earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Ocelot shoots it out of your hand.
That's what it is. When you're listening in, Then you have to go back up, and then you do all the cold and hot stuff.
He sees you in the camera.
So then you go and you actually fight Metal Gear now, right?
Yeah, now it's the first fight with Metal Gear. You shoot it a bunch, and then
you have to shoot its like little dish tray.
It's like the Ray Dome. So it
that kinda fight, all right, this fight was next to Liquid Snake, and I would say this is actually a little bit better. No. Cyborg is a little bit better than this fight against Metal Gear, because you have to, I like, the pattern wasn't hard to figure out, but it was just hard to execute. I actually looked it up because I started figuring out, I'm like, this, I, there's got to be a better way, because like the way I'm doing right now, I'm like, I get it. When he's up close, he has a laser and he has machine guns. It's easy to dodge the laser and the machine guns, but the missiles are like hit or miss for me. There's got to be an easier way, and there was, but just slightly, like you just run towards him to dodge the missiles. Everything else I was doing, and use chaff grenades when you can, because the missiles don't hit you.
Yeah.
So I beat him then, and then they don't refill your health bar. You get a cutscene where Cyborg comes back, and
Chris Fox,
and he dies in front of you.
Yeah, but he destroys the Ray Dome.
Yeah, he destroys.
Well, it took two steps to crush him. That's how strong he is.
It took. He has his one last line. He says something. I forget what it is. Right before he gets crushed.
Well, he gets pinned against the wall and Liquid is like, in Africa or whatever, we don't hunt foxes, we hunt jackals, implying that foxes are weak animals. And then he blows up the Ray Dome and says, cornered fox is more dangerous than a
jackal. That was a cool line. And I think what bothered
me, that's when you can shoot Liquid in the cockpit. But
that bothered me so much, because I'm like, he's dead. He's pinned in, like, he's basically sawed in half by this thing. He's not going to survive. You've already beaten the crap out of him once, and you still see he's all glitchy from it.
We got to remember, I mean, there's a backstory that you don't really know, but they were, like, really, really, like, I guess you could consider Gray Fox was, like, Snake's best friend. Like,
they do say that.
And also, at this point, I think it's been commented on how many people Snake's killed. I don't think he really, like, I think he's kind of questioning himself, just blindly gunning people down.
I didn't even think of that. That makes a whole lot more sense. That's kind of cool, actually. They actually kind of, showed actual character development on such an early game, which normally there isn't much of that. And so that fight was just a pain in the ass, because you would always have to, like, the pattern was just so difficult to get. And we were talking about Cyborg getting killed by
Metal Gear.
So then you have to fight him again, but now aim for the cockpit. And I remember I was getting so aggravated, and I was like, there's got to be an easier way with this, because you don't get your health replenished for this. I looked up online. I was waiting for the thing to actually like aim completely. Like,
oh, you could just shoot it.
You could just shoot it. And I'm like, because every time I did that before, I would always miss. And it's
get good.
Exactly.
The internet says.
So then I just did that, got it on like my second or third try. Then comes to the bane of my existence.
The
hand-to-hand combat, hand-to-hand fight with Liquid Snake.
Only a fool trusts his life to a
fight. Like, This fight was so... My roommates have never seen me more angry at a video game.
See, it's been such a long time since, like, the first time I played it. But I definitely didn't beat it first try, but I don't know if it really got me, like, super irritated.
Well, what was it? There's an AVGN that kind of describes this, not phenomena, but, like, this type of feeling where, like, you start out and you're practicing on the boss and you're failing miserably, but you're starting to get a pattern. About, you know, like, 3 or 4 tries in, you got the pattern. You're starting to get the pattern. You're really, like, getting it. You're doing really well. You're getting him down to, like, lower and lower bits of health. And for a while, you're consistently getting down to, like, the last tenth of his health. And then, because you've been doing it so long, you start to regress, and you start doing more poorly. There was one fight I kept falling off the edge, which you don't, like, you don't die instantly, but then you have to, like, just slam buttons, just, like, as fast as you can to climb back up, which didn't always work. Sometimes I would just alternate between X and up, and that worked one time where I got up instantly. But then I do it a second time, and it would take, like, 3 to 4 seconds, and I'm like... I'm yelling, get the fuck off, come on. I was yelling at Ziggler, like, get up, you're fine. I was getting so frustrated.
Out of the final boss fights, it's probably the worst one.
Well, then once maybe. You have no idea how, like, when I beat him, I literally danced around my house. I was like, yeah, fuck you. I'm like doing this like weird little stomping thing.
It's funny because the part that irritates me the most is the part immediately after
the
that.
Jeep.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I think it's the worst segment of the game. But
oh, by far. So we're actually onto the Jeep now. The Jeep was, I think it's the worst segment, but it didn't give me as much trouble as the final fight. Like, I still hated it. But I still don't think it was a well-done set. I'm like, why even... Like, I don't mind the whole thing at the end, but I wish I was driving the Jeep as opposed to someone else driving. And, like, the whole shooting thing was just so irritating. So, you make it... You race all the way out. You have to keep shooting Liquid, even though you blew him up in a helicopter. You punched him off Metal Gear, and it exploded on top of him. And he's still chasing after you in a
Jeep. Hey, look what Solid Snake goes through. There's a reason they cloned Big Boss.
It makes sense, I guess.
Think of Liquid Snake as the other, like, player of the game. He just restarted from this game over.
So then he comes back, and you finally get him at the end, like, after you escape out the Jeep. I was so close to dying. Like, I thought I wouldn't have made it.
Everything you do, none of that matters. What kills him is the virus.
Yeah. Which, and you don't know how long it's going to be till you die, type of thing.
Which, at some point.
It's kind of...
She said she randomized, I think, how long it would take for it to affect Snake, but it will affect him at some point.
But I kind of like how... There's a cure for it, though. He could just go back and get it cured, couldn't he?
There is a vaccine. That's how Revolver Ocelot wasn't killed, because it was programmed to kill... Because it's like... The way the virus works, it targets certain people's genetic code. Yeah. So what the government did, without Snake's knowledge, is they injected him with it, and then he was just supposed to go there and infect everybody and get them all killed. That was
their plan.
And the woman, what's her name? Naomi, hates Snake, so she programmed it to affect him as well.
See, this is why I think... I'm sure there's tons, but like this is the plot hole I see. They could get any old guy to just go in there and infect them. It didn't have to be their best soldier. Well, it could have been anyone.
Well, part of the reason he's the best soldier is because he always follows orders.
But still, like...
Also, who else is going to be able to sneak in and get in contact with everybody and not get killed by, like, some random patrol?
I guess that's true. Wow, government's a dick.
Yeah, I mean, that's the... It becomes even more apparent in...
Moral of the story, government is a dick.
A big one.
A big
fat
floppy. Whipping it right out on the table. All right, so to sum everything up, we finished it pretty fast. I really enjoyed the game. I really, really liked it. I like talking about it. It was a really fun, like,
experience. It's probably, out of all the Metal Gears, the one that I've replayed the most.
Well, and I can tell. All the different, like, little extra, like, side bits, you know?
I mean, once you've played it once or twice, like, you really don't... Like, sometimes you watch some of the cutscenes that you like, but a lot of the ones, like, when you first meet Otacon, it's a backstory about Gundams and, like,
yeah,
missile silos. Like, who cares? But you can just go through, and that's how you find these little... Like, you realize that they put so much attention into the gameplay itself, even if, like...
I really wish more games would do that. Overshadow, like, it. I guess, like, a lot of developers now, like, players don't pay attention to this, let's skip it. But, like, players who replay games a lot will find tons of small details like that.
It's also kind of interesting because the game should feel like claustrophobic because you're just in one base the whole game, but it feels so large, which is kind of interesting. I think, like, the scale of it. I think two, when you get to two, might feel a little claustrophobic, but this one I think just felt really, for just being a base, felt really big.
Yeah, so. All right, that's about it for this week. So next week, I don't know what the topic's going to be. I figure it out on the go. I'm a really bad podcaster.
Talk about Batman.
Yeah, I guess I can talk about that. So until...
and Solid Snake would beat Batman in a fight.
Probably. So it won't be next week. It's every other week. So until next time, guys, see you.
Bye.